Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Ram Gold and today Masechus Baba Kama, Daf Lamed Hey, the third parak HaManiach. The third parak has been generously sponsored by Zichu Nishmas, or Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Mer Golombek. May his neshama have an aliyah. So the three daps are going to focus on number one. On the previous daf, Rabbi Yochanan said that one burning on Shabbos without a purposeful intent is not liable. He's challenged from our mission, which teaches that burning someone's grain on Shabbos is exempt from paying because he's liable to death, and one act cannot incur death and monetary payment. Since the Mishnah discusses an ox burning grain, presumably without purposeful intent, the case of a man burning should be the same, yet he is exempt from paying. After Gemara suggests an ox can have purposeful intent, Rava answers that the Mishnah reflects the drush of Chizki's Academy, Maka Adam Umaka Behema. The Torah compares one who strikes a person who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who does pay, teaching that just as one who strikes an animal always pays, regardless of intent, af maka adam. So too regarding one who strikes a person, otachokbo ben cholgogomezi. You should not distinguish between an unintentional act and an intentional act, or other exemptions from execution, l'chaivo mamun, to obligate him to pay money, elopotro mamun, rather always exempt him from paying money. Rashi explains that here, even though the burning was destructive, he's still exempt from paying. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Shor Sheya Rodev Acher Shor Acher, if an ox was chasing another ox, Behuzak, and it was damaged, Zeomer Shorcha Hizik, and the damaged party says, your ox damaged it, Zeomer Lo Ki El Beselo Acha, and the owner of the chasing ox says, no, it was injured by a rock, Amosim Chavero Alav Araya, the burden of proof is on the one trying to collect money from his fellow. Similarly, if two oxen chase an ox and one injured it, and it's unknown which, the owner of each ox can claim the damage was inflicted by the other and is exempt until proof is brought. If both are owned by one person, but the amount of payment would differ depending on which animal inflicted the damage, meaning if one or both are a tam, which pays only half damages and cannot exceed the damage's value, the owner can always claim the lower amount until proof is brought. The Gemara notes that this Mishnah disagrees with Sumchus, who says, Mamun humutu basafik chokin, money, whose ownership is in doubt, is divided, and the accused damager would pay half. And point number three, Rabbi Bar Nassan said, Atanu chitin behodu l'besorim pater. If one claimed wheat from someone and the other person admitted owing him barley, he's exempt from paying even barley, because by claiming only wheat, he's admitting he's not owed barley and has forgiven that debt. This is challenged from our mission, which taught that if someone's two oxen, each a tum, injure a second person's two oxen, and the victim claims a larger ox damaged his larger ox, and the smaller ox damaged his smaller ox, increasing his claim, and the defendant says the opposite, he must bring proof to collect his claim. This implies that without proof, he collects according to the defendant's position, even though it's not what the plaintiff claimed. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah means ruli lito ve'enlo. He's eligible to collect if he brings proof, but if he does not, he collects nothing. A Bryce explicitly says the plaintiff does collect the smaller claim of the defendant, and the Gemara explains it's where he sees the oxen, and they're already in his possession. So once again, the 3 points are number one. On the previous daf, Rabbi Yochanan said that one burning on Shabbos without a purposeful intent is not liable. He's challenged from our mission, which teaches that burning someone's grain on Shabbos is exempt from paying because he's liable to death, and one act cannot incur death and monetary payment. Since the Mishnah discusses an ox burning grain, presumably without purposeful intent, the case of a man burning should be the same, yet he's exempt from paying. After Gemara suggests an ox can have purposeful intent, Rava answers that the Mishnah reflects the drush of Chizki's Academy, Maka Adam Umaka Behema. The Torah compares one who strikes a person who's executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who does pay, teaching that just as one who strikes an animal always pays, regardless of intent, af maka adam. So too regarding one who strikes a person, otachokbo ben cholgogomezi. You should not distinguish between an unintentional act and an intentional act, or other exemptions from execution, l'chaivo mamun, to obligate him to pay money, elopotro mamun, rather always exempt him from paying money. Rashi explains that here, even though the burning was destructive, he's still exempt from paying. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Shor Sheya Rodev Acher Shor Acher, if an ox was chasing another ox, Behuzak, and it was damaged, Zeomer Shorcha Hizik, and the damaged party says, your ox damaged it, Zeomer Lo Ki El Beselo Acha, and the owner of the chasing ox says, no, it was injured by a rock, Amosim Chavero Alav Araya, the burden of proof is on the one trying to collect money from his fellow. Similarly, if two oxen chase an ox and one injured it, and it's unknown which, the owner of each ox can claim the damage was inflicted by the other and is exempt until proof is brought. If both are owned by one person, but the amount of payment would differ depending on which animal inflicted the damage, meaning if one or both are a tam, which pays only half damages and cannot exceed the damage's value, the owner can always claim the lower amount until proof is brought. The Gemara notes that this Mishnah disagrees with Sumachus, who says, Mamanu mutu basafik chokin, money, whose ownership is in doubt, is divided, and the accused damager would pay half. And point number three, Rabbi Bar Nassan said, Atanu chitin behodu lo besorin pater. If one claimed wheat from someone and the other person admitted owing him barley, he's exempt from paying even barley because by claiming only wheat, he's admitting he's not owed barley and has forgiven that debt. This is challenged from our mission, which taught that if someone's two oxen, each a tum, injure a second person's two oxen, and the victim claims a larger ox damaged his larger ox, and the smaller ox damaged his smaller ox, increasing his claim, and the defendant says the opposite, he must bring proof to collect his claim. This implies that without proof, he collects according to the defendant's position, even though it's not what the plaintiff claimed. The Gemara answers that the Mishnah means ruli lito ve'ein lo. He's eligible to collect if he brings proof, but if he does not, he collects nothing. A Bryce explicitly says the plaintiff does collect the smaller claim of the defendant, and the Gemara explains it's where he sees the oxen, and they're already in his possession. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard Siman is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The Nezikim boys choir joyfully singing the Maka Adam Umak Behema song, as two kids dressed as oxen pretended to blame each other for damaging a third ox. Were abruptly interrupted when one father in the audience accused another of owing him wheat, and the other father responded, I owe you barley. So once again, it's a motion. The Nezikim boys choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey. La, la, la. The Nezikim boys choir joyfully singing the Maka Adam Umak Behema song, which reminds us that more brings a drush of Chizkiya's academy. Maka Adam Umak Behema. The Torah compares one who strikes a person who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who does pay, teaching that just as one who strikes an animal always pays, regardless of intent, of Maka Adam, so too regarding one who strikes a person, Otachokbo Ben Shogigumezi. You should not distinguish between an unintentional act and an intentional act, or other exemptions from execution, Chayvo Mamun, to obligate him to pay money, rather always exempt him from paying money. So the Nezikim boys choir joyfully singing the Maka Adam Umak Behema song, as two kids dressed as oxen pretended to blame each other for damaging a third ox, which reminds us, if two oxen chase an ox and one injured it, and it's unknown which, the owner of each ox can claim the damage was inflicted by the other, and is putter until proof is brought. So the Nezikim boys choir joyfully singing the Maka Adam Umak Behema song, as two kids dressed as oxen pretend to blame each other for damaging a third ox, were abruptly interrupted when one father in the audience accused another of owing him wheat, and the other father responded, I owe you barley. Which reminds us, Rabbi Bar Nassan said, Tanu chitin v'hodu lo besorin pater. If one claimed wheat from someone, and the other person admitted owing him barley, he's pater from paying even barley, because by claiming only wheat, he's admitting he's not owed barley, and has forgiven that debt. So once again, the Nezikim boys choir joyfully singing the Maka Adam Umaka Behema song, as two kids dressed as oxen pretended to blame each other for damaging a third ox, were abruptly interrupted when one father in the audience accused another of owing him wheat, and the other father responded, I owe you barley. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blatt Back Chazara. Daf Lamedov. So the Siman Daf Lamedov relates to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. When the judge, that must be more Daf Lamedov, law. When the judge carrying the flower pot to decorate the courtroom tripped over the judge who stumbled in front of him, who didn't warn him, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Shnei Kedam Shei Mahochin Zeh Chazeh. If you have two potters walking, one behind the other, and the first stumbled and fell, and the second stumbled on the first is chai for damages to the second. Rabbi Yochanan explains that even according to the opinion that one who stumbles is faultless, the first person is chai here because he should have stood up after falling and he didn't stand up. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says he's even chayv if he could not have stood up in time, because he should have warned the person behind him and he didn't warn him. Rabbi Yochanan holds he is not faulted for failing to warn the second person, the tarid, because he was preoccupied. So when the judge carrying the flower pot to decorate the courtroom tripped over the judge who stumbled in front of him, who didn't warn him, he called out regarding his broken shards, I did not dig this pit, which reminds us, Rav said, Rishon chai b'nizkei shein, the first person who fell is liable for damages of the second, both for damages caused by his body and for damages caused by his property. Sheni chai b'nizkei shlishi, the second is liable for damages of the third person who fell over him, b'nizkei gufo, only for damages caused by his body, avolo b'nizkei mamona, but not for damages caused by his property. He's not responsible for damages from his property because he can say, I bear love anakrize. I did not dig this pit, and is not even responsible for not picking them up if he was mafka them. So when the judge carrying the flower pot to decorate the courtroom tripped over the judge who stumbled in front of him, who didn't warn him, he called out regarding his broken shards, I did not dig this pit. Just as another judge carrying a flower pot and a man carrying a beam, collided, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that if one was coming through Rishus HaRabim with his barrel, and this one was coming with his beam, and they collided, shattering the barrel, the owner of the beam is exempt. Because this one has permission to walk through Rishus HaRabim, and this one has permission to walk there. Daf Lamed Beis, so this one Daf Lamed Beis is a lab. So here goes. The scientist outside the Nezikin lab, that must be on Daf Lamed Beis. The scientists outside the Nezikin lab were busy observing the strange behavior of a cow squatting that was then kicked by another cow, which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, Shtei paras b'Rishus HaRabim, achas b'Rivutz v'achas mahalechas. If there are two cows in Rishus HaRabim, one squatting, one walking, batam halechas b'Rivutz patur. If the walker kicked the squatter, its owner is exempt. Rivutz b'mahalechas chayavas. But if the squatter kicked the walker, its owner is liable. So the scientists outside the Nezikin lab were busy observing the strange behavior of a cow squatting that was then kicked by another cow, when a man ran by Erev Shabbos calling out to greet the Shabbos Kala Machasa on his way to Shul. Which reminds us, one who runs on Friday at twilight is patur from damages, because he's running with permission to prepare for Shabbos. The Gemara illustrates the permit to run on Friday at twilight with the practice Rabbi Chanina, who would call out, Bo v'neitz likras Kala Machasa, come, let us go out and greet the bride, the queen. So the scientists outside the Nezikin lab were busy observing the strange behavior of a cow squatting that was then kicked by another cow, when a man ran by Erev Shabbos calling out to greet the Shabbos Kala Machasa on his way to Shul, who was about to pass a carpenter shop where a customer just got killed by a flying wood chip. Which reminds us, if one enters a carpenter shop with Rishus and is struck by a chip of wood, the carpenter is patur from galus, in the sense that galus is not sufficient to atone for him because his sin is too great. The reason is Mishum Dehavile Shogad Karbel Amazid, because the carpenter is an unintentional murderer who is nearly intentional, since he was reckless for not ensuring no one was present while he was chopping wood. Daf Lamed Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg-leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must be more in Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who got injured by a tum and was told he could not collect full damages, which reminds us, we have machlokas tana kama and Rabbi Akiva, whether a tum that injures a person pays chasi nezik or nezik shalim. So the peg-leg pirate who got injured by a tum and was told he could not collect full damages became enraged when he went to take possession of the ox, which equaled half damages, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches that if an ox worth 100 zuz kills an ox worth 200 and the carcass is worthless, no tlas is short, the damaged party takes the damaging ox, which equals half the damages. In a brisa, Rabbi Shmuel says, Yushim Ashor Bebasin, the ox should be assessed by basin and the owner pays the victim up to its value. This is because Rabbi Shmuel holds that the victim is merely a bal chov, the damages creditor, and has a monetary claim against him, but no claim to the ox itself. Rabbi Akiva says, Huchlad Ashur, the ox is automatically transferred to the possession of the victim. This is because he holds the nizak as a shutuf, a partner in the ox, but portion of the amount owed. So the peg-leg pirate who got injured by a tum and was told he could not collect full damages became enraged when he went to take possession of the ox, which equaled half damages, and saw that the owner had already shechted it, which reminds us, a brisa states, Shchata unasana b'matana masha asa asui. If the owner shechted the damaging ox or gave it away as a gift, what he has done is done. The Gemara asks, let him come and collect from its meat. Rav Shivsi explained that the difference pertains to pachas shchita, the depreciation caused by shechting, for which the mazik does not have to pay. Rav Huna Breid Rav Shua said, Zosomeres ha mazik shibud shel chavero pater. This tells us that one who damages his fellow's lien is exempt from paying the creditor because the damage is indirect. Here, although he reduced the value of the ox which the victim would collect, he does not pay the difference. Daf Lamed Dalet, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Dalet is a ladder. So here goes. The injured shore leaning against a ladder, that must be more Daf Lamed Dalet. The injured shore leaning against a ladder and depreciating in value due to the mazik shore's horn stuck in it, which reminds the Gemara discusses if the mazik or nizik changed value after the damage, whether the damage is assessed kashasa nezik at the time of the damage or kashasa amada bedin at the time of standing in judgment. Ravashi explains that the mazik is responsible for the injured ox's later deterioration where it deteriorated because of the original blow, because the nizik can say, your ox's horn is buried in my ox. So the injured shore leaning against a ladder and depreciating in value due to the mazik shore horn stuck in it, watched a mazik and nizik try to sell a shore tum and split the money while dividing the dead ox, which reminds us that there's a machlokes in the Mishnah on how to understand the case in the pasuk of Umachris Hashor Achai v'chatzu es kaspo, they shall sell the live ox and divide its money, v'gam es ameis yechatzun, and they shall also divide the dead one. So, the injured shore leaning against a ladder and depreciating in value due to the mazik shore's horn stuck in it, Watch the Muzik and Nizik try to sell Shortum and split the money while dividing the dead ox, when all of a sudden a man wounded another man by striking with a stepladder in order to get blood to give his dog, which he would be liable for if he did it on Shabbos. Which reminds us, Rabbi Yavo taught a brisa before Rabbi Yochanan. Kol makalkalin peturin, all who do destructive acts on Shabbos are exempt from punishment because only constructive acts are liable, chutz mechovu umavir, except for one who wounds and one who burns, which are liable even for destructive acts. Rabbi Yochanan says the case of chovu is a chovu betzar chokalbo, one who wounds where he needs the blood for his dog. Although the act is destructive and the total damage is greater than the benefit, his purposeful intent is sufficient for liability. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which deputy learned that if one entered a carpenter shop with his shus and is killed by a flying wood chip, the carpenter is potter from galus because it's a case of shogeg karv lemezi? That's on daf. Lamed Beis. Good. Number 2. Which deputy learned that Rabbi Yavo says, kol makalkin b'torin chutz mechovu u'mavir, all destructive acts on Shabbos are exempt from punishment except for chovu and mavir? That's on daf. Amidalad. Good. Number 3. Which of the one, if two oxen chase an ox and one injured it, and it's unknown which, the owner of each ox can claim the damage was inflicted by the other and is put there until proof is brought? That's on daf. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we have machuk is if a tum that damages an adam pays chasi nezek or nezek shalim? That's on daf. Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 5. Which of the one, if one claimed wheat from someone and the other person admitted owing him barley, he's put there from paying even barley? That's on daf. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we makos if a person who stumbled and didn't warn the person behind him is liable for damages? That's on daf. Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we makos if a mazik is responsible for depreciation where the deterioration was a result of the original blow, such as the horn buried in the nizak's ox? That's on daf. Lamed Dal. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn from the drasha of Maka Adu Maka Mehema that an act punishable by death is exempt from payment even where the person is not liable to death? That's on daf. Lamed Hey. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss how to understand the pasuk of Umachru is ashore achai v'chatsu as kaspo v'gamet sameisi achasun? That's on daf. Lamed Dal. Good. Number 10. Which of the one, if one puts straw or cuts straw in reshus of rabbin to become fertilizer, and someone is damaged, the owner must pay for the damages? That's on daf. Lamed. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is everybody, Ram Goldhar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.